from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Behind me, keeping track of our time, our picks, and looking up any pertinent information we might need, he is the poet laureate of the Blockout Sports Pod. You know him as Mr. Electricity. We call him Whiteboard Jody. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kempf.
Whiteboard Jody ain't got no socks on.
And bellied up to the bar, a man who, for a variety of reasons, would rather you not Google him. He is the fabulous one, Freddy Bender.
Wonder what comes up there, Tuna, if you Google Freddy.
I have. It's a lot of legal documents and whatnot. But
that's what I said. That's one of the variety of many reasons.
You know, I was a thespian back in the day.
That's not.
And you can pull up a couple of reels of some plays downtown that I was
in. Were you the fiddler on the roof?
No, I was. I always had these weird, obviously crazy parts. You know,
yeah.
Like I was Curly in Of Mouse and Men, the bad guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I could see you more as a Lenny, but
that
you know,
was
whatever.
At the Max down at Kentucky Center for the Arts down there.
I could see that.
A couple other crazy ones. So you can pull that up sometimes. And
is it on YouTube? Because I would love to watch
that.
Yeah,
it shows up sometimes. You got to really dig for it.
Well,
but,
I know what I'm doing this evening.
So,
while
play
you guys
that
are
I
watching
was in,
college basketball.
a great play called Plastic Jesus that pops up. That would be a real funny one where I was a homeless person.
I tried out for Tuna Christmas, but I wasn't good enough.
Well, you're trying out for the Chiefs movie.
I was in that one.
Hallmark.
Was you?
They picked me as the audience participator out of the crowd. Fred was there. So was Eddie Wolf.
Yeah. Aren't you going to be in an extra in the Hallmark movie?
I hope so. They won't put me in it. It's in. I think they're filming it in Norton Commons or something.
It's done. It comes out the 30th.
Oh, okay. Well, when it comes out on the 30th of this month?
Yep.
Okay. I will give a full review on the show following that.
Yeah, we should do a little Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, we definitely get a Siskel and Ebert. So, looking forward to that.
quick reminder, we are on social media at Blockout Pod on Twitter/X. On Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar. You can find us there.
Just to cut you off real quick,
yep.
This needs to be brought up. It showed a Florida Panthers player. I'm not sure who it was. He was walking down the, I guess he just got there to change clothes. He was wearing a karate gi with a Florida Panthers logo on it. And I feel like that needs to be commonplace. I thought a fight was about to happen and come to find out
it's a hockey player.
Dude. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I know. I like that move.
I assume he's the enforcer on the Panthers.
I didn't recognize him. I don't recognize these guys without helmets on. So,
last week, some of us fared better than others on our picks. Fred was 3-2. Tuna was 2-1. The rest of us had losing records last week.
What was my one loss? Was that IU, I believe?
Yes, it was.
Damn it, IU.
Damn it, Moneyline.
That was all of our losses last week.
God.
Which,
even though we won in life.
Yeah, just as an aside, I told Fred as the final seconds ticked off the clock, I had never cared less to lose a large bet in my life.
With a tear in his eye.
Yes, literally, with a tear. With a tear in my eye, and the words of the great nature boy, Ric Flair.
I kept waiting for that fourth quarter push that you guys always do, and it just never came.
No, they were Michigan. Well, we'll get into that
trending
here in just a few minutes. I also wanted to say we are obviously in the absolute final stretch of college football, so. And with the NFL going on, we're a pretty football-centric show. We're going to get into some college basketball tonight as some of the big-time teams are playing each other in the Champions Classic, and there's some good matchups coming up. But for those of you that are NBA or NHL fans, don't want you to think that we have forgotten. It's just that, you know, with those seasons really just now getting started, in the, especially in the case of the NBA, when did the NHL season start?
Yeah, October. Okay. So it's the same. I mean, and those seasons go all the way into like June.
Right.
So I think that those people can wait a couple months.
But I just wanted to let you know we haven't forgot. We will be talking about that as their seasons get up and running and as the other sports come to a close. But right off the bat, tonight we have the second college football playoff bracket reveal. Expect to see some shifting, I think, because of what happened last week. It'll be interesting to see what the committee does again with Indiana coming off of a very difficult, very hard-fought win against Michigan. We had Miami fall from the ranks of the unbeaten. We had Georgia pick up their second loss of the season against Ole Miss. We had LSU lose what we deemed an elimination game last week to Bama.
Slaughtered.
I mean, that was very, very impressive, and I know Fred will get into that in great detail here soon. I wanted to start, since I am the host and moderator, talking about the Indiana game for just a minute. First of all, yes, we all bet. I thought Indiana would throttle them. I really did. And I think, and Coach Cignetti said as much after the game, the first quarter and into the second, I felt like Indiana really had an opportunity to stretch that lead. They had a pass where they got the ball down the 1 yard line. It was called back on an offensive pass interference that Coach Sig was not necessarily tickled about the way that that play was called. Indiana forced Michigan to fumble inside their 10 yard line. And while the Indiana defender was going to jump on the ball, the quarterback grabbed him by the horse collar and held on to him. There was no call there. But credit to Michigan, because whereas every other team, when Indiana's offense has kind of put their foot on their throat, and they did, they were up 14-3, Michigan made some adjustments defensively. Their pass rush was tremendous. And they shut Indiana down, especially in the second half, unlike any team has all season long. But with that being said, Indiana's defense was phenomenal. Special teams played a huge factor. Indiana's field goal kicker remains perfect on the season. And they had a big punt return at the end that kind of set up their last field goal. And then the defense comes through and holds Michigan when they had an opportunity to go down and score a possible winning touchdown. That moves Indiana to 10-0 with a bye week this week. Everyone obviously looking forward to a week from this Saturday when they travel to Columbus to play Ohio State, which will determine more than likely who is going to play Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. I really feel like, just from a gambling standpoint, do you guys think that now with the recency bias of Indiana having a struggle against Michigan in a game that, you know, they were favored by better than two touchdowns in, do you think that the spread might be a little bit skewed towards Ohio State? Like, I thought maybe it would open at like 9, and I'm thinking now it might be like 13. ish.
Sometimes you do get that bump for coming off of a bye week. They tend to help those teams out a little bit, or you know, the spread seems to lean toward teams coming off of a bye week. That's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's you know, you don't want to, you're on a roll and you don't want to stop rolling. Sometimes you need it so your guys can get better.
I think Indiana really, it comes at a perfect time.
That's
for
what
them.
I was gonna say. You guys needed a game like this, and for it to happen a week before the bye week, the guys can take a few days off. You know, Sig is working, you know, 24/7. You know, getting everything together and coming up with an approach and game plan for this. And I love the fact that you struggled with Michigan. If you guys came out and just smacked Michigan around a little bit, I'd probably be a little bit more concerned going in. If anything, these guys are locked in. You get into a comfort mode when you're on cruise control and you're winning so easily. Now these guys got humbled a little bit and they're going to work harder these next 2 weeks. I think it's, like the stars lined up perfectly for Indiana.
And I mean, it was a, for everyone that watched that game, it was extremely physical. And Indiana had a couple of key players get dinged. Justice Ellison, I can never remember, Miles, if it was, I think it was Miles Cross. I never remember if it's Miles Price or Miles Cross. They have both those guys play for Indiana, but their regular punt returner got dinged up a little bit, and Sig was on with Dan Patrick, and he even, like, Patrick asked him, would you rather play this week? Or are you glad you have a bye? And he said, I'm glad we have the bye. I mean, I get everybody healthy. And like you said, now, I mean, he was already a psycho when they were winning by 5 touchdowns. I can't imagine the attention to detail and how much he has those guys. Not that they need it for this team, because as we know, Ohio State is very, I mean, you know, maybe has as much talent as almost anybody in the country. So,
well, they're going to have about a 4-day break, and then they're going to get the hell beat out of their brains this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think you're right. And, you know, It was a tough game, and everybody that I've talked to that knows I'm a big Indiana fan, I said, look, I'm 51 years old. That is the third time in my life, and Indiana plays Michigan basically every season and has since I can remember. That's the third time in my life that Indiana has beaten Michigan. I've got a picture right in front of my desk of the great John Eisenbarger catching a touchdown at the Big House in 1967, the Rose Bowl year. Then in the COVID year, which was a weird season when Mike Penix played for Indiana, Indiana beat him. And then this season. So tickled, thrilled, any superlative you want to put or adjective you want to put on that, I'm very excited. They're 10-0 at worst. They should go 11-1, which I don't think anybody foresaw that. So very excited, very interested to see where Indiana slots in this week.
Can I tell you something I found out this week?
Yes.
I now know the rules for tiebreakers in conferences.
Okay.
It's weird to try to explain. All right, so it is the cumulative wins of conference opponents that you've played in conference games.
So like they're like your opponents combined
conference wins
in conference.
Who has the most teams on their schedule with the conference wins?
Okay. So Indiana is not going to beat Oregon or Ohio State.
Well, that's what today I kind of went through it a little bit. And basically, you need the SEC to get 4 in instead of 5. That's if hypothetically speaking, Indiana loses to Ohio State, you're going to have Penn State's going to edge you out.
Right.
Oregon's obviously got it. And then that would be 3. 4 teams from the Big Ten will only get in if four teams from the SEC get
in.
Because you have the Notre Dame's more than likely going to get in. You need to pull for them to lose.
Sure.
But they're going to get in. You got the one at large group of five, and then you have the ACC and Big 12 champ.
But I would have a feeling that even if Indiana were to get beat by Ohio State, if it's a close competitive game, I can't imagine that they would get
left out.
Left out. I can't imagine.
Yeah, you got to watch because you don't know, like, with Georgia and Ole Miss and Tennessee. And because you got to think, what, Texas is already shoot in for it, right? I would say they're locked in. Tennessee, wouldn't you think that they're kind of locked in right now with their one loss?
I would think so.
I mean, they may lose to Georgia this weekend.
That would be two losses.
That's two losses. And then I haven't looked at the rest of their schedule. But I would say they're 50-50 right now.
That's going to be the scary part to watch what the committee does, because I think they can look at these SEC teams, these five SEC schools that are right there.
Thank God Kentucky stepped up and beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's huge.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are losses.
Tennessee to just beat Georgia this weekend.
Yeah. Right, and then
should be good then.
It should be an elimination,
right?
It
should be, but then you also have Texas A&M now. It's just hanging out.
Don't forget, Texas A&M has only lost one game in the SEC. They lost to Notre Dame.
Right, right.
So that is a definite strange one right there.
I tell you what.
We are all pulling for – I mean, me as a Bama fan, I'm pulling for Texas A&M to lose.
I think anybody would love to see Texas A&M across from them in the SEC championship game. But keep in mind, they do play Texas last game of the year.
They played Texas last game, which I'm pulling for Texas.
I think everybody kind of is there.
Yeah.
And don't forget,
if you're on the bubble, then that's what you want.
And don't forget Notre Dame. You know, they have Army. Then they play.
And that game is am I right that that game is at Yankee Stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they also.
That'd be so cool.
And they also, I mean, I know that they'll probably take care of business, but they also play Navy, who's not.
They've already played Navy.
Oh.
No,
yeah, they've already
Army. I think
I mean Army. Oh. Army. Then Army has Notre Dame, and then Navy at the end. Obviously,
and then they're
going to
play Tulane
that.
In the AAC championship.
Right,
game.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that could. I think Boise State, if they just handle business, though. That's the group of five.
I've been doing some G5 homework. And,
there we
yeah,
go. That's what we want.
Tulane has Navy and Memphis, so Tulane's probably not going to win all those games. I think Boise State has it locked up. I mean, their toughest game is Oregon State, who's 4-4.
You don't think Tulane would beat Memphis and what was the other team?
No, I'm talking about Boise State has it locked up. I mean, unless Army were to beat Notre Dame and Navy, and don't forget, if they lose to Notre Dame, it doesn't really count in their conference.
Yeah.
So then they have no losses still, and then they have to play the Roadrunners and then Navy.
Right.
So Army
and most
is,
likely they would get Tulane in that championship.
Army's still in it, I guess you could say.
Maybe. Yeah,
just
maybe.
Outside looking in.
And yeah, group of five, I guess. What are you looking at? Army, Tulane, and
that's
Boise
it.
State?
I'm
and
looking,
that's it? Those
I'm
three?
Looking at Army and Boise State. I was looking at Louisiana, who's 8-1. But they play Navy, Memphis, and Tulane.
If Boise State was to lose one and then Tulane was to beat Army in the AAC championship game, you think they would leapfrog them? Because their only two losses are what, to Oklahoma?
Kansas State and Oklahoma.
And Kansas State. So that's could be a debate.
Yeah, they're 6-0 in conference.
Boise's only loss right now is to Oregon. And I don't know.
And a very competitive, tight game.
No, it's like a three-point game. Yeah.
No, their loss is to SMU. Who? Boise State. Boise State lost to SMU.
No, Boise State, they lost to Oregon, correct?
Oh, yeah,
I had
at
them
the
losing.
Very, yeah, at the very beginning of the year.
I thought they lost to SMU, my bad.
SMU's the only, they lost to, their only loss is BYU.
BYU, okay.
So that's maybe where we got. Yeah, Oregon, this was week two, 37-34.
Okay, yeah. I had SMU on there by mistake. Oh, yeah. I got SMU with BYU right here.
And Miami, you know, it's weird because
that's crazy.
Miami falls from the ranks of the unbeaten, but really doesn't change their prognostication for the ACC that much as long as they win the rest of their games.
Well,
right?
No, this is where it gets kind of tricky. All right, this is how I found out about the tiebreaker rule.
Okay.
As of today, Louisville, for all you Louisville fans out there, Louisville has a 15% chance of making this playoff. And this is what
I
want to
hear
happen.
This. I want to hear it.
Basically, you say SMU, who has no conference losses right now.
Okay.
They're the number one seed.
Yep.
Okay, they're basically pencil them in. If Miami loses to either Wake Forest, which isn't going to happen, and then they go play at Syracuse, which could easily be a loss, okay? And then Pittsburgh beats Clemson. That's the key. Pittsburgh has to beat Clemson this weekend.
Okay.
You would have a three-way tie for second place in the ACC, and because of Louisville's strength of schedule or conference opponent wins in that conference, we would get the second, even though Miami beat us head-to-head, because I'm thrown off right now.
Oh, I was just trying to tell Fred to back off the mic.
Sparky's being highly unprofessional and sending me pictures of penises right now on my phone. So that's a little weird. Like, we're adults down here.
That started from you at dinner two weeks
don't
ago.
Don't put this on me.
You're the one that started this.
So anyway, but because Miami and Clemson didn't play head-to-head, you can't go with a head-to-head get on that. So those three would line up with that particular tiebreaker.
Okay.
That makes my head hurt.
Yeah, mine too. Because I don't have the brain capacity for this. But there is a chance, and it all starts. We got to be like Pittsburgh Panther fans this weekend. Which, crazy things happen at Heinz Field.
Well, I don't have any problem rooting against Clemson in any capacity. So
exactly. But to
if it can help Louisville, absolutely.
About the ACC, you go on a pencil SMU because they're probably going to be the one seed up there. They haven't lost a conference game. I don't foresee them losing one. And then Miami, more than likely, will get the second place and they'd play each other. But there's still a shot that Clemson could get in there.
Okay. So, man, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so Miami could be left out of the ACC championship game.
And
well, I'm sure there's got to be a weird scenario like that in the Big 12, man.
The Big 12
right?
is absolute chaos. It's a chaos. And if you thought that was hard to understand, what I just did with ACC, like we're talking like Russell Crowe drawing on windows to get through the Big 12. But as of right now, BYU has not lost. So you can pencil them in basically for the number one seed to be in there.
I have them losing this weekend.
Now, okay, that would open things up. I think they would still probably get in with one loss. Colorado is a team to watch. They hold their own destiny.
Right. Yep.
So if Colorado wins out, then they're in. Iowa State has really, the wheels have completely fallen
Kansas
off that
State?
Team.
They're 7-2.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have one loss. Colorado has one loss in the Big 12, so they control their own destiny.
Okay.
But a lot of things are still in play. There's tons of different scenarios that can happen in the Big 12. We said going into the season that it was going to be the most chaotic conference, and I think it's lived up to that.
Yep.
So,
for sure.
And another thing that if you want to throw some more chaos in there, I thought, you know, just thinking of teams that finally get out of it. You know what I mean? Oh, we can't make it in there. You don't want them teams to tank. You know what I mean? And just blow it the last two times. Because then if you need a good strength of schedule or a win that you had, you don't need someone just players going, I'm dropping out. I'm going pro.
Well, that's already happened with a couple players.
Get crazy.
Louisville had a player say, I'm not going to play anymore this year.
Yeah. Can you keep the players on the teams winning to the end? You know.
Yeah, they're going to have to prorate these NIL deals.
It's going to be crazy.
Like a week to week
see.
Deal or something.
Like, and typically, like Colorado. I could see them if they're out of it later, dude. We're all gone, and then they lose their last two, and it hurts somebody's strength of schedule moving forward. So let's hope that doesn't happen. I thought Heather Dinich had an interesting tidbit here on the with her boots on. In the past decade, there's been 13 teams. There's been 13 teams finish in the top 10 with three losses. Okay? Mm-hmm. In the last decade, 13 teams have finished in the top 10. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the bracket with three losses. On selection day.
I think so. But in the past years, though, what would bump some of them out is the automatic qualifiers.
And your tiebreaker that you're talking about.
The automatic qualifiers. Like, there could be all those teams with three losses ranked in the top 10, but the ACC has went several years without a top 10 team.
Right.
Big 12
right,
and so on.
Right, right.
So now that one of those, or they get spots in there. Notre Dame, I think. Schools need to bond together or band together, whatever you say, and just say, hey, let's just not put Notre Dame on the schedule until they join a conference. Let's just blackball them.
Yeah.
Go play the MAC every week and then see where that gets you.
And they do play a somewhat tough schedule.
I would like to see the Power Four conferences be like, we're not scheduling you anymore.
But
you
I
know,
mean
join a conference or
I think they're gonna have a tough time with Army and Navy.
Well, they already beat Navy by 35 points.
Wait a minute. I keep looking at my wrong thing. Yes.
They play
USC.
USC to close out.
I think they're going to have a tough game.
And they got
Army.
Virginia this week, right?
And Virginia, yeah. I think, is going to.
Dude, they're like a 24-point favorite.
I think
over Virginia
Virginia's
right
going to cover that game. I think Virginia can put some points on. I mean, Notre Dame looks good, though. They are taking care of business right now.
Virginia beat Pitt this weekend? Is that right?
Virginia's pretty not a bad team.
They're a scrappy team.
They
that
can
is
put
right.
points on the board too.
Yeah, they gave Louisville.
And
all
don't
they
forget, Notre Dame's looking ahead to Army, so that's why I'm saying that could be one of those games for them. They haven't had one in about five games now since they lost to Northern Illinois.
You're right.
Well, Fred, I had my time to expound on the Indiana game. The Alabama LSU game, which I watched the beginning of it, over at your house, obviously. And
well, it was over before you left.
Well, I was
the fastest game I've ever seen in my life.
I was
and
telling
I don't mean
everybody
that rudely, but it was like, it lasted an hour and 10 minutes.
It did.
I was telling everybody, you know, they were asking me, you know, what do you think's going to happen? I said, well, I think it's going to be a shootout, and it's going to come down to the last, you know, with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Well, the game was over, midway through the second quarter, probably?
Yeah.
Is when I felt like, well, this game's over. I mean,
that's when I didn't live bet it.
So is LSU just the worst team in college football against running quarterbacks?
No.
Because they just, like, every time they face one, they just demolish
them. And
they do.
That's funny, too, because I was texting Colin, and after Jalen had his first run, I said, boy, I think LSU is really struggling to stop this quarterback draw. And I sent him the exact same text like 9 times after that. I said, still are.
Yeah. Well, I bet Milroe to get 60 plus rushing yards at a plus 140 clip, and he had that in like the first drive.
Yeah, I was gonna say after two runs.
Yeah well, a lot of the tale of the tape was that we just crushed them on the trenches. Mm-hmm. Our offensive line was pushing them back left, right. We weren't even going straight ahead. We were running to the right, sweeping to the left. You know, we were prepared, which we haven't been every game, as we know. I thought we out-coached them in every – we outplayed them.
And shout out to Kane Womack for coming up with a fabulous defensive game plan in that game, too.
He did, and he seems to do that sometimes. In other games, it's like, what the hell happened?
We've sat here and gave him his props, and it's like, that's the Kane Womack coming out
right,
party.
But we did.
And then the next week, you're like, what the hell?
Right, but we put last week, we got to put pressure on the quarterback. We did put pressure on the quarterback. We had various people blitzing. Blitz, Bama, blitz.
And that LSU quarterback was deer in the headlights for most of that game.
Yeah, and that's how he gets. So that's why I was like, don't let him sit there and pick you apart. But, you know, like Milroe, I'm looking at my stat sheet here. You know, he only had 109 yards throwing, but you're talking 430 yards rushing with four running backs. We established the running game, which we needed to do. I don't even think many of our receivers even caught balls in that game.
They didn't have to.
No, they didn't have to.
There was no reason.
And that worries me a little because I want them to get a little flow going when it comes down to that. But we really played great. Jihad Campbell, Tuna's favorite player, 12 tackles, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, 3 tackles for a loss. I mean, I think him and Lawson are fighting for the All-American linebacker award with an IU, a couple IU guys probably. We've now had 3 turnovers in 4 consecutive games. Which you're like, wow, you almost have been killing people. You know, a couple of them games we had 3 turnovers and we lost. So you would think if you have 3 defensive turnovers in a game, you're going to win. So it still makes me a little nervous. But the game overall was fairly even. The first downs, penalties were the same, everything. But as I'm still talking about it, it was over. There's really nothing else to say. I mean, it ended so fast. Me and Josh, all my LSU crew was there, and before I knew it, we were drinking barbecued bourbon.
I started shutting.
Travis, I took a drink of it down in Clemson, and it took me like, I don't know, 2 days to get that taste out of my mouth.
Oh,
it was awful.
You're missing the best part.
Yeah.
They had the pickle vodka there too.
Pickle pucker.
Somebody mixed that with the barbecue bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
They were like, it's like a pork sandwich.
Pickle sandwich.
Oh God.
You got some degenerates running around.
I have a stomach ache now.
Yeah, I don't like that one bit. That was kind of performance from Bama that I've been kind of wanting to see. I haven't seen it since, like, what, week 4?
Yeah, well,
When Georgia came to town?
It looked like that against Missouri, but they didn't have all their players. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they're not very good anyway.
And, dude, and I'm not making excuses for LSU, but they did have 12 people out. They had some good players out. Your All-American on D. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Who has not really been on the field for them anyway. Didn't play in that game.
I don't
either.
Think Perk's played since 2 years ago.
I don't know. Perk's,
last year, I don't know.
I think he just plays on Madden.
Yeah, he's getting ready for the NFL. I want your thoughts, Mr. SEC, on this Ole Miss Georgia game. I just want to know what your thoughts on Georgia are going forward.
Well, I took Ole Miss in that game because I was thinking, you know what? And I think I said this last week, which quarterback's playing great and which one ain't. Mm-hmm. And it was real simple on that one. However, Ole Miss's defense showed up.
They did.
They really showed up and really carried them in through that first quarter, half.
I didn't think that they could do that.
I didn't either. And buddy, they did. And I also had like the Florida-Tennessee game. Sometimes you have those feelings, which I have a feeling about Georgia this week, that I think that they at home – will be too strong for Tennessee.
You had a feeling about Georgia when they
played Texas. I had a feeling that Kiffin, I really think he needed his signature win in the SEC. He hasn't had it yet. He's been knocking on the door 10 times. And I was like, you know what? The way Carson Wentz is playing, I think he's going to get it this week. And I just and his defense showed up for him. Georgia is inconsistent. I can't really put my finger on when they're playing great, when they're not. Now you can put them to the list of Bama and LSU and Ole Miss as the most as four of the most consistent teams that are around. Even starting from when they played us in the first half against Bama, first half, second half. But I have a feeling Georgia's going to get home. They're going to get in Athens. Tennessee has not looked that great. They didn't even look good this past week against the worst team in the SEC. And I think they're going to get – I think Georgia's going to come out, and I have a feeling they're going to take care of business. That's going to be one of my picks.
Do you think anybody's going to score in this game?
Don't know.
I'm not an unders guy. What's the over-under in this game?
I
haven't even looked at that yet. I feel like I have something to
say. But
let me
say one thing that I did not mention until maybe the beginning of the year. I am not a Mike Bobo fan.
No.
Never have been. I think this guy, I don't understand how this guy gets jobs so much. He's been at Colorado State and all the. He's been to some bottom
beaters. This is third time at Georgia, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been. I don't know if it's his third. I know it's his second.
Okay,
but
maybe it's just the time
he's been
was
on some of
there.
These bottom feeder teams and never done well with them. And I know he's was an old Georgia quarterback and everything. But when they brought him in, you know what? You know what I did when I saw that he was hired? I smiled like a sumbitch because I know that if there's one guy that can screw Georgia up, it's the guy opposite of Kirby. So Kirby focuses on defense, and he's focusing on offense. And I don't like his play calling and never have, and it's showing. I'm not saying they have receivers that are going to go in the top 10 in the draft right now. They're young at that in that area. But they've got at least one receiver that's really good, Smith, and I think his name's Smith. He lit us up.
48.5, by the way.
48.5.
Oh, under. There's no.
I'm all over that under.
Where would they come from? Georgia has nobody that can move the
ball. I'm all over that under.
Tennessee is, they're going to get Nico's head.
Yeah,
so
anywhere
bad.
Near 50, and I'm on it.
And I love Dylan Sampson, but, you know, running the ball like that against Georgia. Well, speaking of Georgia, that offensive line, for as big as they are and how much I've heard about them all offseason, they just. Week in and week out, they seem to get absolutely punked.
Yeah.
Which is the weirdest thing from a Georgia offensive line.
And I will tell you, I went back and watched that Bama-Tennessee game again. And, man, they got so many it was a slow goer in the first, second quarter. And then the third quarter, they made some changes at halftime. And they got some 40, 50-yard runs right through our linebackers. They did a couple plays that I hadn't seen before, and I have a feeling that that Tennessee will run the ball better than they will. Mm-hmm. But I just think something tells me that special teams are something Georgia's going to come through and win in a low scoring game.
Special teams is going to have to be the group that wins this.
Right,
both sides.
Right,
that might
right,
be how
right.
how they score all their points.
Right. I mean, whatever field goal kicker took the most steroids.
Kevin
this week.
Butler ain't coming through that door.
This is in Neyland, right?
No,
this
is
in Athens.
That's the only reason I'm taking it.
Yeah,
the Athens advantage, and I don't even know what time the game is. Does anyone?
7:30.
Yeah, see that right there. You put them two things together, and that's all I need.
Georgia's
to take
a
Georgia.
10-point favorite in that game.
Are
that
they?
Seems like a lot.
Yeah,
of
well, it's it opened up. Them, it's it yeah. opened up at like 6.5, so it's went up.
That's a lot of points.
That's a trap. I'm not betting that except for the under.
Hey, on my card right here, 6.
Wow.
So it has went up, yeah.
On a different game, what do you think the spread is on Clemson-Pittsburgh?
I think Clemson's favored by like 10 or 11, aren't they?
They're favored by 10 at Pitt.
Yeah, the bookmakers still love Clemson. They barely won this past weekend. They won by like 10, I believe.
Yeah, they still haven't found their offense.
No, it was Virginia Tech, which is a –
struggling
team. It
was a good
team.
Win for them to come off of that loss, that dead loss.
I mean, I guess
Louisville.
Because Blacksburg's a tough place to play, but Virginia Tech's really banged up, and they're losing a lot of that. I felt like Clemson should have came out a little bit more focused and fired up after that loss to Louisville and really put it on them. But I don't know, man. Pittsburgh, they're on their heels, man. They started out, what, 6-0, 7-0, and they're just like, they're treading water right now. So, But anything crazy stuff happens at Heinz Field. That's where Louisville went up and lost last year after beating Notre Dame
by
20-something.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
That game was real rainy, wasn't it?
That field is a choppy mess, and like a lot of players freak out on that field.
Tune, I went against you in this other big upset that happened this weekend. You had it, you called it, and I said me and Chad were like, he ain't gonna get it. And we went through 10 or 11 YouTubes of gurus picking this game.
You were sitting right next to the only
guru you need to know. I know. And we knew that Hayes King, I was like, he's definitely going to play. Yeah. I can assure you that he will play. And, you know, their running back gets hurt in the first series.
After he ran for a lot.
Yeah. And then he's out. And then they had this other quarterback that you know is not good. At one point, they were playing on the together out there.
Brett Key's got one in
him. He did everything.
He threw the kitchen sink at him.
And Miami, you know, the thing that I give Joy, and I watched that whole game because I had a lot of money on that. and then I live bet it. And Miami is a fourth quarter team and they put a lot of points on the board. And Georgia Tech's defense has not been good. And
I was thinking
their
about
defense
you so much
crushed it.
Because on the way back from Clemson, you mentioned several times, I'm only going to bet Miami and these teams.
Miami
and like,
SMU.
And you said that. And then right when we get there, it's like, all right, they got Georgia Tech, and this is a Brett Key special. This is the Brett Key special, and it was like.
It was, dude. They came to play. He had a great game plan. I mean, dude, Hayes King was beaten. He got hit a few times
at the
beginning.
That was one of the ballsiest performances you'll ever see.
He is a warrior and should be commended. And their defense, the corners that shut down, what's his name? Not Garindo, but what's his name?
Justice Haynes, the running back, but Malik Rutherford is the
wide receiver that's crushing
Malik
it for
Rutherford.
Miami. No,
Xavier Restrepo.
Yeah, Restrepo.
Rutherford's for Georgia Tech.
But their defensive backfield should be commended as well because they really played good.
My guy, 44, the linebacker for Georgia Tech with the big neck roll.
Oh, yeah.
His name, dude? Like, he left that game with, like, broken shoulders and busted kneecaps. He just come limping back out.
Yeah.
And he made that sack right there at the end of the game. Eifert.
He came walking off the field like Mean Joe Green in that old Coke commercial.
Yes.
His jersey half torn off and had those big-ass shoulder pads. Yes.
I knew when I saw Travis and he said, I need this game. I need this team to lose. I was like, I'm in trouble.
Did you have Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew from the whole get-go I was in trouble. However, if they would have scored at the last
series. I love
that
you
last
and Chad
series.
Got together and watched YouTube videos. To talk yourself into betting it.
Dude, he talked me into it. He talked me into it on Thursday night during the football game.
Oh, happy was
goes,
sad
and I'm
on
like,
that
you
one.
Know what? You got a point there. They
oh,
are
shit.
Looking good, dude. And he,
drunken YouTube.
Oh, my God. And you know what? Moving forward on a side note on that, I am only betting money lines moving forward. I don't know why I don't. Forget the points.
Play around with the alternate spreads
I'm
a little
bit. I'm doing
only
unders and money lines. I'm getting ready to.
Going back to betting with training wheels.
I'm going to have a special show where I just do like four unders. Four unders. Here they are. Every Thursday, a little Freddy Underpants spinoff.
That's awesome.
But, dude, no, good. Hey, great call, Tuna, on that one. And I remember Chad going, oh, Tuna likes Georgia Tech? That was the first time he had been talked out of it. He was like, oh, man. I was doing a low country boil.
Texas Tech
Colorado
game was That was the weirdest game if you guys watched any
of that.
Oh,
we watched that. Yeah. I'm sorry. I had Texas Tech.
Yeah, so. That was a slow-going game. Oh. And then I was like, because I had the over in that one. It's 65.5, and it was started out real slow, and both teams were kind of sloppy. And then right at that fourth quarter, man, everything just opened right up. And,
oh, man. It was needed bang, bang, bang.
It needed that fumble scoop and score to cover the over. It was probably one of the most exciting times ever.
Right, right.
But, yeah, that was fun. But, again, Colorado goes on the road and beats a hot team.
A hot team.
So they just keep doing it.
They did. And they were looking – none was going their way in the first half, but nothing seems to go their way or the first quarter. Nothing ever seems to go the way. They start arguing with each other and everything, and then bam, everything changes. Anything else out there, guys? What other games I'm trying to think of?
Well, those were the big ones that had really
any sort of
implication towards what's going to happen relative to the playoffs.
I'd say South Carolina's the hottest 6-3 team in the country, maybe.
Well, I think they're going to leapfrog some two-loss teams in this poll when it gets released tonight. I bet that they jump
could,
up over
they
a few.
They are really playing
They'll
good.
They'll probably leapfrog like Louisville and Clemson and some of those teams. They've got really good wins. I think they're probably the surprise team of the year. Well, and I mean, there's
he's
probably
done
some
a
more,
hell of a job.
I think IU's obviously the surprise team of the year, but
and Army,
South Carolina. I think like they're over under number like projected wins was 4, 4.5 or something like that at the start of the year.
Right, I'd say Indiana.
Give him a lot of credit.
Indiana,
Vanderbilt, the team that they beat.
Right.
That they
again,
beat
Vanderbilt's
but
another
BYU's
surprise team. BYU's
definitely a surprise team,
and you know, Vanderbilt just
SMU.
Never. Plays South Carolina well, even when they were rolling under James Franklin.
I wish you had told me that.
They never play. I've been to two Vanderbilt South Carolina games in Nashville when Vanderbilt we thought was clearly the superior team, and they lost both times. And I want to say, I saw what their record was against South Carolina in like the last 20 years or. Whatever, and it's not good. And they didn't play well. But South Carolina looks to be, as you said, looks to be firing on all cylinders, and I certainly would not want to be facing them coming down the stretch at all.
I agree.
And, you know, say what you will about old Beamer, but he's got those guys rolling.
No, yeah, he definitely. And they got the old Beamer ball from his daddy with some special teams play.
Yeah.
So it's nice seeing Beamer ball back in action.
I was happy to also say when we left the podcast Tuesday, I said, man, I heard this great information. I gave you all Fresno State game, which I lost on. And I was like, I didn't mean to bet that one. I meant to bet Hawaii.
That's right. I've seen the text come
through.
Hawaii
is hot. They've won 4
in a row. I've seen the text come through. Yeah. So.
Anything else? Anybody else have anything to say about college football? Who's Louisville got this week?
Stanford. They are traveling to Palo Alto for our annual West Coast trip.
Is this I assume it's a late night kick? Is it like
3:30, I believe.
So it's early out there.
Yeah, because so Louisville's going to get screwed for the foreseeable future with night games, and it's because we're in a television deal with the SEC, and the SEC part of their deal with ESPN is that they can only play 2 noon games a year. Each team can, so they're getting all the 3:30 and 7:30 time slots. So Louisville's going to get all the noon and 3:30 time slots.
Right. Speaking of that, I saw what?
No, go ahead. I got
that was the wrong end.
Swing back at me.
I saw today that Ohio State's last 6 games are all noon starts, and their fans were
it's
beside themselves because I mean. There is no reason.
No.
That Indiana-Ohio State game, I believe, is the that weekend is the only game between two ranked teams.
And that's a 3:30 start, right?
No, it's big noon kickoff.
Oh, Jesus.
Big noon kickoff. That's what I'm saying. Ohio State's last six games are all going to be noon kickoffs.
Yeah.
There's no reason
Losers.
That game
I was upset
is at noon.
Because Louisville, we haven't had a home night game this year for that reason. I got nothing to bitch about. Ohio State fans should be furious.
The Big Ten needs to adopt that rule because I get it. Fox gets the right of first refusal or whatever. So they're going to take the team that draws the most eyeballs, which is always Ohio State.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, and not to mention, and this is a total side note, but, the CBS broadcast to me is so far beyond what Fox does.
Yeah. I do like the Fox. I like the 12 o'clock Fox guy.
No.
Well, that's Joe Klatt and Gus Johnson.
I like them.
I could do without Gus.
I'm more talking about the production.
Oh, by
like,
far.
The cameras that they have.
Oh,
and
dude.
The drone shots that they... It's the legit. Video packages that they did.
The music.
Before the game. Like, it was, to me, night and day. And that 3:30 CBS game ought to be... Like it was in the SEC, it ought to be the Big Ten
game
of the week, which it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
But Fox still put Ohio State on, even though they were playing shitbag Purdue, and they knew they were going to win by 1,000. But they know that they can
get the ratings.
They put Ohio State on there. Half the country's watching that game.
They covered that 42-point spread, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Jesus.
Oh, they're covering, yeah. They're
Fred,
covering.
You had something
else
to add.
Hey, I wanted to get Charles' opinion on one thing in regards to this CFP. So I've got all my notes here, everything written down, what team, the top 25, and who they've lost to, except I got that Oregon-Boise wrong, which I've corrected. But I have one team on here, and I've got all the scenarios, and I've got one team on here highlighted.
Washington State.
Tuna, we think alike. Washington State is sitting here at 18th or 19th, and they are 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks, they have lost to
Boise State
beginning of the year. Yep. First game, I think, or second.
They're going to be a conference champion.
They're
going to
Yeah. Guess who they play the last game? Their only other conference contender, Oregon State.
They are 0-0 in conference play right now.
Right. And Oregon State is their final team, and they are 4-4, so they are not good.
I just love that the Pac-12 had a media day.
Dude. Yeah, and they should have.
You had the Beaver and the Cougar just kind of sitting on the couch.
How did you know
like,
I was
going to
say that? That's awesome.
I could just read
your
mind.
So what do you think? What in the world is going to happen with Washington State? I mean,
I think
their strength of schedule is not huge because they lost one of the teams that would really boost it up a little
bit. Well, it's like we said earlier, you got Tulane, Boise State, and
they did beat Washington.
And Army. And I feel like Washington State would get in over anybody that wasn't undefeated.
Are they considered a G5, like just a random school, even though they have the Pac?
They typically, we just call it the group of five, but they don't call it that anymore. It's the at-large spot goes to, it basically to get into the playoffs, it's the five highest-ranked conference champions.
Okay, right,
so
right.
That's what it is. Like, there's a world where, like,
so Washington
the Big
State
12
is considered...
doesn't even have one. You could have a Pac-12 and a Mountain West if it lined out that way.
So Washington State's considered a team just like Boise State
definitely.
Army or whoever.
Yep. And okay. I think they could get in. Like, if Tulane was to beat Army in the AAC championship game, and they've got their two losses, and say Boise State lost a game.
Right.
But if Washington State and Boise State are both sitting there with one loss, then Boise State will get the nod because of the head-to-head. So, okay. Yeah, it's almost like Boise would have to lose two games or one more game.
Right.
To get that.
Kudos to Washington State, folks, for going 8-1 quietly. Very quietly.
Well, they just basically ran through the Mountain West, which is not bad.
They have.
Still,
yeah.
That's...
And they did beat a Big Ten school.
Washington.
Yep.
The Apple Cup that took place in week three.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It was like you had the week three Civil War and Apple Cup.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a very awkward year in college football.
And I think, so Bama basically has like a week off. Don't they play like Mercer. Play this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Kentucky plays
Murray State.
Texas A&M's playing New Mexico State.
So, yeah, so there's some
40.
There's some.
Yeah, Clemson and Pitt's probably one of the biggest games. You have Texas and Arkansas, which is always it's an old Southwest rivalry.
I think that's going to be.
Yeah,
Arkansas's fallen off a little bit.
They have.
But
still, anytime those two teams get together,
right.
You got LSU's traveling to the swamp.
I think Utah could give Colorado a little something. Maybe.
This is one that I'm interested in.
Yep.
Boston College traveling.
That's what I was just about to ask you.
I'm sitting here reading your two minds, all y'all's minds.
I was just about to say that BC-SMU game is a little tasty, I think.
Yeah, I think Castellanos. I think that entire.
No, wait a minute.
What?
It just came on the ticker.
Did
Castellanos is not playing.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going
to
say.
He said for reasons to help the team. Is what it said.
Oh, Lord.
Moving forward.
What does that mean?
That means he's done
meeting
for the year.
Castellanos
and it means he's
done.
Taken meetings for NIL transfer.
Right.
Players.
So he has moved this other kid up for the benefit of the team is what it said.
That's exactly what you talked about earlier.
Right.
These teams
and
that
so
are getting.
Is that, how is this other quarterback?
Well, we've seen him before, and he's not good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm all over SMU in that one.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to bet him
because
at home.
I mean, the spread's 17.5. I thought, God, man, that is a lot of points. But
and the thing is, it's not just Castellanos. Like, that whole Boston College team has been pretty banged up for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So that could be an easy cover for SMU, really.
Fred said something about the Colorado game. That's a 10 a.m. start time.
Is it really?
For them.
Noon. It's noon here. It's 10 a.m. there. That's the second one they've had this year.
You almost go advantage Mormons on that, right? They get
good
night sleeps. Yeah.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, Utah looked good in that. I know that was a big rivalry and everything, but why not just spin right off of that?
Utah had that game.
I know.
They got screwed, man.
I know.
How about their athletic director, like, I'm sure you guys saw, right? What their athletic director? Oh, you
didn't
see that?
I didn't see what their athletic director did.
Oh my God! So they're waiting for Utah's coach. What the hell is
Kyle Whittingham?
Yeah, Whittingham to come to the podium, and from behind the curtain, here comes this dude. I have no idea who he is.
It's like the Wizard of Oz.
He sits down and just grabs the microphone. He goes, "I got something to say."
Oh, nice.
He goes, "When we got into this league, I was very excited about it. I'm not excited anymore. The referees were unprofessional, and they stole this game from us, and that's all I have to say." And he slammed the microphone down and walked off.
Well, go on back to the Pac-2, buddy.
The athletic director for Utah. And
you think Oregon State and Washington State was on conference call? Like, let's get Utah back on the phone.
And the league summarily fined him $400,000 on Monday.
Oh, that's a lot, dude.
$400,000.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what they're getting fined for throwing bottles on the field, $400,000.
Yeah, but, like,
no,
just for
crazy.
Getting on and speaking your mind.
This is a different.
Yeah.
I've never heard of one person.
Dude, they're going to be leaving that conference.
$400,000.
Come on to the ACC. We'll take you, Utah. I've always wanted to see Salt Lake City.
Yeah, right. All right.
I have a feeling that Kansas is going to pull the upset this weekend. They are a team that is surging upwards. We know they have talent. I think this could be the BYU game. And I think it's an early game, is it not?
No, it's 10:15 at night.
10 o'clock
oh,
at night.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Well, maybe I don't like
Yeah, night games then. In the state of Utah are rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's the only thing with that. But I'm with you on everything else. Kansas has been kind of scary good lately. Not like good, but Lance Leopold's doing his thing right now. Well, such a slow start by them, though. They're very disappointing to start the season.
Yes, they were.
Now they're kind of grooving.
Yes,
right now,
they were. When they lost to UNLV, when I didn't bet on them when I was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Man,
anything
I don't see, and,
from
yeah,
a college
I mean,
football
I, I
standpoint?
I think Virginia's going to play Notre Dame tough.
Unfortunately,
that,
we got to wait for the
that's it
for
buddy.
The selection show. Tonight.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Gonna be late because of the Champions Classic.
I was hoping that it was gonna be like it was last week. We could react to
just
it live, but
yell at the TV.
We're not gonna be able to do that tonight. But it'll give us something to definitely talk about next week. All right. With that being said, the Champions Classic.
I mean, I could go over the AP poll real quick, just
to give you an idea.
Of what's going on. So the AP poll that came out Sunday,
yeah,
the number one spot is obviously Oregon, Ohio State, then Texas at 3, Penn State at 4, IU at 5,
woohoo,
Tennessee at 6, BYU 7, Notre Dame 8, Bama at 9, 10 is Ole Miss, 11 is Georgia, and Miami's down to 12. So that's something to keep an eye on. My SMU still sitting at 14. I think SMU's probably one of the most disrespected teams in this group.
I agree.
By the Associated
I agree.
Press. So other than that, that's the teams to watch out for. Army, a notable here. Army sitting at 16.
Army's been a little – they've been at 16 for about 4 weeks. But their quarterback's been hurt. That I know they're playing smaller style scale teams than SMU is, but I feel like they've been crapped on a little bit too.
No doubt.
the noises from upstairs distracted me for a moment. So the Champions Classic gets college basketball really going in full swing tonight. Right now we have the number one ranked team in the country, Kansas, playing Michigan State, who is not expected to be your typical Michigan State, but as they are often want to do, Izzo has these guys prepared to play, and it's a 37-36 game, about 5 minutes gone in the second half.
Did you guys by any chance catch Kansas and North Carolina on Friday night?
I saw parts
yes,
of that game.
I taped it.
Okay, that was two teams that neither one of them had any intention on winning a basketball game, I thought.
Well, hell, they were down by 30 damn near at the beginning, weren't they?
Yeah, they
and
were
then
whooping.
They came back.
They had a 22-point lead on North Carolina, and then they ended up hanging on. But North Carolina came back with that, but I don't know. It was just a mess. Hunter Dickinson's still in college.
Well, they all are. I mean, what about the point guard for Kansas with the headband?
He's been there for six years.
But that's the thing with college basketball.
DeJuan Harris.
You get to see their faces more than you do a football player. And if you think that the football players are going to be there a long time, wait till you see the basketball. Yeah. They're never going anywhere. I mean, I expect to see these guys for like seven, eight years.
Yeah. With the COVID year, we're getting 7 year guys, so it's pretty wild. I mean, Zach Edey felt like he was at Purdue forever.
I mean, there's
but I just look, think they have a bunch of dudes like Zach Edey.
There's Cleaves right there. He's still playing.
Actually, the replacement, quote unquote, for Edey, the new 7'3" guy or whatever, broke his leg.
Oh.
Earlier this week, and he's out for the season.
Ooh, what's Matt Painter going to do now?
He says he's going to play
not
small
win.
Ball.
No,
Painter's a great coach.
No, I agree, he is.
Purdue is still going to win.
Oh, they're good.
I guarantee they're still going to win. They'll be good.
I love Painter. I think he's a great coach.
Yeah,
even
this diehard Indiana guy is a big Matt Painter fan. The game of local interest around here tonight, and I want to get Sparky your thoughts about this as well as Fred. Kentucky and Duke.
Wait a minute. They're showing a Christian Laettner highlight. Okay, now you can talk.
Two of the obviously marquee programs in the history of college basketball meet in the second game tonight, sometime after 9 o'clock. Sparky, your initial thoughts about what you've seen from this Kentucky team and how you feel about the new coach and the new style of play. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are leading into this big ball game tonight.
Well, I love Pope. Great guy, great coach. He's going to keep it up tempo. We're going to shoot a lot. Exciting basketball. Still a lot of unknowns. I mean, we had somebody had 12 assists for us the other night, which is unheard of for UK basketball. But, again, we're playing Duke tonight, and, you know, we've lost to them 3 out of the last 4 years. They're a little bit, obviously, older, more experienced. We have seniors, yes, but they're all transfer portal.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping for a good game, close. This game, it's early in the season.
I think we got more playmakers, don't you, on our team?
No.
I mean, they got a bunch of 6'9" guys.
You guys got a dude that's been on a mission for the past 2 years, so that's cool.
That's a playmaker. Yeah.
This, in the grand scheme of things, this game doesn't mean diddly squat other than it's UK and Duke. I'll record it tonight and watch it.
It's a great early test to see where your team is. Because
absolutely.
Duke is good. I mean, Duke has players. I don't know if Kentucky has more players. Duke has players at every – that Cooper Flag. Have you watched him play
yet?
Yeah,
he's legit. And I saw him in the McDonald's game.
I like
game.
The Knaple. Knaple?
But he can handle the ball and sky and dribble and, yeah. I mean, he's every bit of 6'9", and he's a lanky, athletic 6'9", which is you don't see them come around too much. Like,
yeah, that's a great name, Con Knuple.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be watching this game with about 25 rowdy-ass UK fans, and I want to beat their ass.
I think Kentucky is going to beat their ass. Look. Let's go back here and look at last year. BYU was probably one of the funnest and biggest surprising teams with the way they moved the ball last year. And Mark Pope is a hell of a coach. They have tons of motion. They actually play decent defense, and they just launch threes. They're in that new style of play that Alabama and Louisville, they do. He has more talent on his team this year than he had at BYU last year.
That is correct.
So what makes us think that this is going to be like a bridge year for UK? I think this is a UK is going to compete for a national championship kind of year. I really believe that.
I think we're going to compete, but I don't see this team making the Final Four.
Well, what teams can you see making the Final Four? Because, like, you can go watch Baylor, who got their asses beat by 40 to Gonzaga, and then they come out and they embarrass Arkansas a couple weeks later. And then you got Alabama, who won by
right.
8 points last
eight
night
points
against
last night
who?
Against
they played
McNeese
Mercer
State.
In basketball?
McNeese State.
McNeese
head
State.
Coach,
I knew it was an M something.
Head coach Will Wade.
I don't think we know anything about any team out there until about January.
We You're know right. UConn's tough.
And I think Kentucky has the pieces to really – when you look at, like, upperclassmen, the minute that these guys start playing together and they fully are able to understand Pope's system and move without thinking, it's going to be scary good, especially when he starts getting the players there. The problem is, and we've seen it with Louisville this past weekend,
right.
When you play that style, if you start off cold, you can really get in a hole fast.
Yeah.
But Tennessee's probably one of the top five defensive teams in college basketball. They beat Alabama twice last
right,
year, one time
right,
by 25
one time
points.
By a lot.
So
how the hell were y'all favored against them?
We weren't favored. It was we were a plus one and a half.
I saw that it was
and,
minus
and how
two.
Is Ziegler still on that team? His son That's, is the
yeah.
manager for the team,
and
for Christ's sake.
He turned the ball over 11 times in that game.
He did.
And still, like, I don't know, man.
And then hit three threes, like, in yeah. a two-minute time frame.
That
but
was
they're
the
just
bet of
the way that they blow up screens is, like, they're tough to move. That's a team that I think Kentucky's going to struggle with.
Exactly.
Because you have physicality where they can get in the way of that constant motion. But
I will say,
other than that, I think Kentucky,
I will say this about Kentucky, and it comes from Coach Pope, and knock on wood, there's no shitheads on the team. You're not going to see attitude over there, and that's what UK has
man,
had on the bench
I've
for
heard
the last
that Lithuanian
10 years.
Kid is quite a shithead. Kirk Carissa, is that it?
You hadn't seen it through preseason the first two games.
Man, now, wait a minute. That's our,
he's a special one right there,
our little Pavia dog.
Yeah, dude.
He had 12 assists last game.
Yeah, he's tough, dude.
That's fine.
I saw somebody on Twitter the other day say something to the effect of if Kerr Carissa or Carissa or whatever his name is.
Kerr Carissa.
If he has grown into an adult, he could be a very difficult player to play against or something that effect. And I didn't know that about I just remember him throttling Indiana at the game that I was at in Las Vegas.
So you're aware of this kid. Yes.
But I didn't know he was some sort of head case.
Now
I just remember him killing us.
Now he's drinking 10-cent drafts down at Two Keys, baby.
I mean, I can't talk shit because Louisville has a whole bunch of shitheads on the team. So, I mean, but it's
the player that I'm pinpointing tonight that I can't wait to see is going to be our quiet leader, and that is Butler. Was it San Diego State? I haven't even watched this team play yet, except
Robinson's probably the best
player. I really like Robinson.
Butler's a great defensive player.
Butler's got great D, and he's kind of a both sides, but I think he settles us down a little bit with his defense, and I think that with him on the floor and his experience, I mean, he's been to the final game, championship game before. That some of the guys may take his leadership. And there's a lot of leaders on that team. When it comes to this,
we've got to be spot on with our analysis because this is going to air. This podcast will air after the game has been played.
That's right.
So I want to congratulate UK on their big win of upsetting Duke. John Shire, I mean, let's think about it. Like, he has finished, like, markedly lower than like his preseason rankings every year that he's been a head coach.
And
they always give him the Duke bump at the start, and they never finish up there.
Don't forget, Duke lost some players that went to other schools. Roach.
Jeremy Roach is at Baylor.
Gone. Yeah,
he's at
gone.
Baylor now.
I mean, I don't see Duke being this big powerhouse. I mean, Cooper Flag can get it done.
You can't put it all on a high school kid. I mean, they do got some other guys, but I don't think they're a scary team at all, man.
See a scary team.
I think Gonzaga looks pretty good, but they also look very vulnerable. All these teams that look good. Now, I have not watched UConn play yet. That's the giant. Kansas, for being preseason up there, they don't impress me a whole lot at all, really.
Connecticut is going to be very difficult to play against this year.
Yeah.
They're going to be really tough to play.
I haven't seen Purdue. I'm ready for some of these holiday tournaments to start. Like, I know Louisville and IU are playing each other in Battle for Atlantis the day before Thanksgiving. You got the Maui Invitational.
Which, you want to talk about a dichotomy in style of play? I mean, this Indiana-Louisville game, because Louisville clearly wants to get up and down the court and shoot the first good available three-point shot they have, where Indiana plays to a certain extent. Now, they're ostensibly trying to increase their three-point shooting volume, but they're still going to be, I think, in the probably the bottom 20 teams in the country in three-point attempts. And so far through a couple of games, they are shooting a little bit more. They're not necessarily shooting them any better than they did last year, but Indiana has some bullies in the paint, some real men in the paint. So that'll be a very interesting ball game.
Kinzie Mbaku,
and Ballo from Arizona.
Yeah. Ubo Ballo or something. From Arizona. He was a beast in the paint.
He played with Kerr Carissa.
God, we don't have anybody that can battle down low with you guys like that.
And Malik Renew may be the most skilled big man in the Big Ten. So that is going to be a fascinating game. I can't wait for that. But
that whole tournament, you've got like Gonzaga down there. Was it Dayton, Gonzaga? Who's the other schools down there? West Virginia, I believe.
West Virginia's in there for sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, the Malibu. I don't know. Is Michigan playing any of those? Because I think out of my de facto teams that I'm going to hate this year, it's going to be Michigan basketball. I did watch them lose the other night, which I got a lot of enjoyment out of that.
What? You don't like Dusty anymore?
No. He's on my shit list.
Oh.
So he's on my shit list.
I wonder why.
Yeah, he's on the shit list. Yeah. I know that you guys have some sort of like friendship with him and he's a friend of a friend, but you know, you can be a great guy and still be on my shit list. That doesn't mean anything.
There's no question about that. And as much as I do enjoy Dusty and the story and I don't know him personally, but I do have some friends that know him pretty well and that by all accounts he's a great guy. But I mean, you will never catch me actively rooting for Michigan in anything.
He blew it last night. Was it last night or the night before?
It was the night before, I believe.
He did everything possible to lose that game, man.
Yeah. And I didn't think they were probably going to be very... And look, as I always say, and I'll say it again, I want every other team in the Big Ten to be horrible.
Yes.
And so anytime another Big Ten team gets beat, that is perfectly fine by me.
Yes.
But, you know, as you said, these early games, and I think Sparky said, like, in the grand scheme of things at the end of the year, I mean, there's a nice notch in your cap to have a win against a, you know, a big name team or whatever. But these teams are just figuring out how to play.
Definitely.
Figuring out how to play.
It's not like we're a team where you have like 8-9 returning players from the year before. Everything, like almost every team in the top 25 has at least, you know, 6 to 7 new contributors.
And
like it's insane.
Usually 2 or 3 starters.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so, you know.
Louisville and Kentucky both have completely new rosters.
Yeah. We got a walk on or two from one walk on from last year.
We have one walk on from last year, Aiden McCool. So
hey, how did Chucky play in the Tennessee game?
Chucky was played a little uptight. Chucky's never been much of a shooter. I think he had 4 turnovers in the game. That was not his best performance.
You wait and see when they play Indiana.
Yeah,
he is a certified Hoosier killer. He has been his entire career.
This is my big knock with him. My favorite thing about him when he was at Wisconsin was the afro with the yellow spot.
Oh yeah,
love that. That was a signature look. Well, he's got braids now with us, and I just don't. It's not the same.
I bet he poofs it back out for that IU.
Man,
game.
I hope the humidity down in the Bahamas gets to it, and it just comes out, and he can't do nothing with it.
I've always really liked him, and I was glad. Number one, that Indiana, I thought, didn't have to play him anymore until I found out that we were playing Louisville in this tournament. But at least we don't have to play him twice.
I think my biggest gripe with him is he kills the dribble too fast. Other than that, and I think that'll come once he learns how to play with the other guys on his team. Like, I think there's a lack of trust with the other guys on the court right now, so he kills the dribble early, and that got us into some trouble against Tennessee. Playing a team that's like Tennessee that plays defense that good right out of the gate was, I mean, you could take it a couple different ways. It could either kill your confidence or you can learn a lot from it. So,
well, I watched that whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville was like 3 of 19 or 3 of 20 from the 3-point line in the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you just hit 2 of those,
mm-hmm.
it's a totally different ball game.
I agree.
2 shots.
I agree.
So
and they got out rebounded 19-3 in that first 10 minutes,
and,
which is. But not good.
Smith, number 6, I believe.
Smith.
Left-hander. Isn't he left guard? Where's number 6 for y'all? White guy. Got like a half a sleeve on one arm. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's
Oh, Rain Smith.
Yes.
Rain Smith. Yeah, he's the Australian kid.
I like that kid.
Yeah, he came from he played at Charleston last year with Kelsey, under Kelsey. And Kelsey's always said, oh, he's the best shooter in college basketball, which every coach says that about one guy on their team. But he can shoot. He's just got to get going early.
And he's got a quick release. He could score a lot of points for
you. He's a liability on the defensive end. for sure. We got a couple guys that are like that, but for the most part, I like the kid too. He's good.
Like I said, that game was, you know, the outcome did not. Y'all just missed some shots early, and that's what it was. And just couldn't.
It
you
was
got back
the,
to seven, I think, with about 10 left, and then they.
It was you it. Missed everything early, and then you got zero offensive rebounds early, and then, so it was just one trip down the court, shot, and then you're down. So it's one thing, like, when you're playing a team like Tennessee, you have to hit your open looks and some of the contested looks, and we weren't hitting the contested or the open.
Yeah, you weren't hitting any of them.
Right. But, man, I mean, that's a cool little primer for college basketball, and I know where that it's still football season or whatever. But
buddy, we got beat by, what, 22 in that? And that's still the most excited I've been watching a college basketball game in 2 years.
Absolutely. Like, and, you know, because I was telling a friend of mine that, you know, they said, well, you know, they got beat again. You know, they got beat pretty bad and blah, blah. I said, here's the thing. I said, this is the first time in however many years that I watched Louisville and I could tell what they were trying to do.
Exactly.
I said, I went through two whole years where, and I mean, I feel like I'm a fairly knowledgeable basketball watcher. I mean, I've coached for years and that, and I can usually tell what a team is trying to do offensively and defensively. Kenny Payne's team, I could never, especially offensively, I never could figure out
no
what
one
they
ever
were trying
could.
To do.
We didn't have, it was absurd. Well, defensively, were you able to?
Well, a lot of times I could tell what they were trying to do, but
it
they
was
were,
just man-to-man with lack of rotation.
And, like, lack of fighting through screens. Like, they never knew if they were supposed to go over screens, under screens, hedge screens. Like, it was different every time down the court. So, and you could tell that this is a well-coached is even, like, beyond the pale. This was a coached team.
Yeah, exactly.
which was a breath of fresh air.
And,
the upper level was full.
Yeah.
We had a friend of friend of ours. Had season tickets for 3 years, and Saturday was the first basketball game she's been to in 3 years.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, we had a booster buy 500 tickets and give them away to fans, and then UPS bought like 1,000 tickets and gave them away to employees, which I thought was really cool.
That's awesome, dude. But
anything to get them there, man.
Get the juice going back in that building.
And they,
because it's a cool, I mean, it's not Freedom Hall from a like a atmosphere, but when they're good and they're rolling, that building is loud.
There was a stretch in the state. It was the 2012, 2013, 2014, where Louisville and Kentucky was probably at the peak of their rivalry. It was like, you know, Kentucky won it in 2012. That's when we played each other in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville won it in 2013. 2014, Kentucky beat us out of Sweet 16. Those 3 years was probably the most insane that basketball will ever get around this area. And the Yum Center, you couldn't get a ticket.
No.
That stretch. You know what I mean? That was, we'd be playing UNC Charlotte or just a nobody. And it was just sold out on a 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night. I think those days will probably never come back again. I think those are over with.
I had partial season tickets for the national championship season for like a, you know, I split them with like four people or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a couple really good games, a couple of the games where they were playing. But you're right. Like, we sat pretty high up, and there wasn't an empty spot to be had in that building, no matter who they were playing.
Yep.
And it would be cool to get back to that level. And
I'm not sure
any
sporting college basketball will get back to that level. Like, if attendance is down across the board, so I don't know if everything's changed since COVID or something's caused everything to change. But just still having that atmosphere – a couple games a year, I'll take that for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And this town will get behind a winning Louisville team, as you know, like crazy.
Well, I think one of the coolest things was you turn on the post-game show after that Tennessee game, and you're like, all right, they're going to start blasting this guy. And Louisville fans were smart enough to be like, look, we see progress. We're
absolutely.
They're like, I know we just got beat by 22, but I'm excited about the future. So, I mean, it was just nice to hear that.
They're going to win some games. against some teams that you wouldn't expect this year when they, because they're going to get hot. They're going to get hot.
And the ACC's down.
Yep.
So anything's wide open. The college basketball, this whole season's wide
Everybody's
open.
Everybody's down.
It's wide open, man.
Yeah, so. As I look now with 8 minutes to go in this ball game, Kansas leads what most people think to be at best a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team by 2 points.
Yeah.
Well, it's Izzo. You were talking earlier who you think of the Final Four. At the beginning of every year, don't count this guy out. He gets them to the final, the Elite Eight, Final Four.
I remember last season. It just came back to me. I remember right about this time saying, this is not your typical Izzo team. I think they're really going to struggle. Guess what? They were, by the end of the season, a team you did not want to mess with. And I'm sure it'll be the same way this year. It has been in perpetuity since Mr. Izzo has been gracing the sidelines.
And I just want to admit that myself, I am the worst college basketball bettor on the face of the earth. I don't know why, but I just cannot win at that sport. And I think I'm not going to bet one game this year. Well, I already bet one, and I won on it. But I probably won't bet anymore. Going to Vegas.
The best bet was Tennessee Louisville.
I know it. Like we were in Vegas. I think I cashed 2 tickets out of like 30 something. What is that?
Yeah.
I don't even think that's statistically possible. Like, but yeah.
I had Kansas in this game -5.5. So we shall see.
That's what the UK Duke is.
Well, man.
I think I'm going to bet on Jackson Robinson to hit 3+3s. I believe that's +130.
I was going to say. Maybe instead of the
player props.
Yeah. Yeah. Like stick
I think he had
with
four
the,
last four.
Yeah.
Four last.
Yeah.
Stick with the props. This episode has flown by. Love the college basketball talk. Cannot wait until the season really gets in full swing. Very much looking forward to the Kentucky game tonight. With that being said, we are in the downstairs pub. We are bar side, if you will, and I'm gonna call last call, and I'm gonna start as usual with the big fella Tuna.
All right, all this college basketball talk, this is something I like to do every season with football, and we haven't done it with basketball yet. We're gonna do the college basketball all name team.
Yes,
let's go.
So,
one of my favorite things. Yeah. Always.
Speaking of always, that is the name of our first contestant. Always Right from Rhode Island.
God, that is beautiful.
Oh, man.
And then coming in at 2.
Does anybody know if Archie Miller is still coaching there?
Wasn't he at Rhode Island? I think he was there last year.
Isn't that where he was at?
He might still be there.
Well,
I mean, he's recruited Always Right.
He's never right. So please continue.
And then there's Po' Boy King from North Carolina Central.
Like it.
Coming from Kansas City, Gob Gob.
Gob Gob. G-O-B, G-O-B.
G-O-B, G-O-B.
Gob Gob.
Gob Gob.
That, man.
Great
Sham
name.
Gob Left.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Gob Sham Gob.
God Sham God.
Yeah, he graduated from Tennessee and what? Or no, that was Providence, wasn't it? God Sham God, and he played with Providence, right?
And his first name before that was Shamgood Wells when he was a McDonald's All-American. Then he changed it.
Please continue.
And then from Oregon, Nike University, you have Supreme Cook. And then this one from Liberty, which I don't even know how, if I'm saying this right because it's not even funny. KU, I don't know. We're just going to skip past KU. And then also from Rhode Island, another Rhode Island guy makes the list. This is Tennessee Rainwater.
Nice.
Yep.
Tennessee Rainwater. Good friends with Cherokee Park.
Yes. He might be from the Cherokee Parks family. And then this guy, one of my favorites, from Cincinnati. You know, he was on the team last year, Mr. Jizzle James.
Jizzle James. Yep.
Then you got Fat Brooks from Michigan. Shouldn't Fat even have said Brooks. His name if I know he played for Michigan. And then from Oklahoma, Cool Attack. And from Kent State to round it out is Cleron Hornbeak. So we're all big Hornbeak guys here.
I will say basketball names lost to football names.
Yeah, football. Rowdy Beers will beat anybody. You still have a group. But now, Gob Gob's pretty good.
Gob Gob is very good.
I'm a big fan of Gob Gob.
Fish McWilliams.
Yeah, Fish McWilliams is good.
Picks, too.
And then real quick for picks, another thing for all you rugby fanatics out there, we're in the middle of a it is the Autumn Nations League. You got a lot of big teams playing each other. If you have Peacock, they are showing all the games. U.S. is not in it, but U.S. is playing friendlies right now. They actually won against some country that was way worse than us Saturday. And then picks. I only have one pick this week, and it's the only – I haven't had much time to handicap. I shot here straight from work today. But it is a 100% lock, and it is Tulane to cover 7 points over Navy.
All right. Love that. Out on a limb. Fred, are you ready for last call?
Yeah, I just wanted to say about the NBA that the tournament starts, tomorrow? Is that right?
I believe it starts tonight.
Or tonight. Always fun to keep up with that and watch everybody play a little harder at the beginning of the year, even though half the league is injured already.
Can you do preseason bets on who's going to win the midseason tournament?
That would be cool. But it starts tonight.
I'm taking the Grizzlies.
And John Morant is out, by the way. He's hurt till
Desmond
November.
Bain's hurt too, isn't he?
He's out for a while.
I'm not taking the Grizzlies.
There you go. Just giving you a heads up. Okay. Kevin Durant's also out. No, I just said keep an eye on that. It is a fun tournament to watch when it starts getting through a little bit because they do play harder. And I find it interesting to see if one of the young teams can get up there and battle some of the teams with the big contract boys on it. I'm going to give my picks. I'm going Western Kentucky -14 against Louisiana Tech. I'm going Georgia over whoever they're playing.
Tennessee.
And
we are prepared for picks.
Yeah,
tonight.
-10 there. And then I'm going to go with my my under. I'm going where was it? I have it right cheer at the top. Where's my 64? Let's go under Hawaii, Utah State under 60, and Cal, Syracuse under 55.5. That's it.
I like that Cal, Syracuse. What was the under we talked about earlier? Oh, I'm going to take the under also just to add to another pick so I'm not just sitting on the one. The under
In the game we talked about.
Tennessee and Georgia, Tennessee, which is 47 and a half.
48
and a half, even yes. better. Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely taking better. The under in that one.
Yeah.
First under of the year for the Tuna.
Yeah, I love it.
And Sparky.
They're probably going to score 100
points. Last call.
All right, just to clarify the beginning of the show, Tuna made a comment, but we're going to tell the real story.
I don't know.
Tuna, it's not a picture, it's a drawing. Tuna sent me a penis drawing on our way back from South Carolina. So I just responded, I said, oh, I guess this is going to be the gift that keeps on giving. So we shoot it back and forth every once in a while. clarification number two, it's 9.5 on the live for the Tennessee-Georgia game. I'm taking Tennessee +9.5. Against Georgia.
Nice.
Picks. I got OSU -28.5 playing there, the Northwestern Country Club thing they got going on the lake.
I like that stadium.
They're playing that game at Wrigley Field.
Or I'm still taking -28.5.
Stadium may fall over.
And I wanted to take UK at +5.5 tonight because I think it will be a close game, but I'm not doing that. I'm doing the UK Duke. 159.5. I'm taking the over on that one.
I forgot to take Kansas and Virginia. But I'll be putting them in a parlay.
All right. Colin has Pittsburgh plus 10. He is jumping on the under train as well with this seems like a mistake from Vegas. The Rutgers Maryland under is 51. 51.
I don't know. They're something.
What is that, Travis?
The Rutgers Maryland game. He is taking the under at 51, which seems wildly high to me.
Yeah.
Like, that seems wildly high.
Is Vegas just throwing that out there and be like, let's just see if anybody's paying attention.
To Rutgers, Maryland.
Yeah. Let's just see if they're paying attention to this. Remember,
I believe that was the example that I used earlier this year as Fred's ultimate nightmare for the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's Maryland. It's Rutgers next.
Maryland Rutgers.
On CBS.
Oh, Gary Daniels would just jump out of the booth. Like, I'm not doing this shit.
He is also taking Virginia plus 22.5 against Notre Dame.
Okay, I like that. I like that bet a lot.
Love that bet.
I am with Fred on Western Kentucky. The line is actually 13.5 as I just saw it. I am going opposite of Mr. Electricity. And I'm taking Northwestern to cover 28.5 against Ohio State. And
Ohio
then,
State's looking forward to that big IU matchup. Might be sleeping on Northwestern.
And
smart kids are good for one.
And I think Ohio State will. I mean, I think they will win easily. But I don't think they're necessarily wanting to show all their cards. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Man, they're only giving 30. They're only giving 30.
They may run into the Ivy wall and hurt themselves.
That's hard to believe that they're only giving 30.
Yeah.
To North. I mean,
they gave up, like, what was it? It was like 42.5 to Purdue.
Yeah.
But
well, I think Northwestern's every bit as bad.
Well, I feel like they'd be.
They're better than Purdue. They're okay. Better than Purdue. I've unfortunately.
Purdue's pretty freaking bad.
Unfortunately, I have watched both teams play
unfortunately
multiple times this year, more than I wish to admit, really. And Northwestern just beat Purdue a couple weeks ago in a game that was way much closer than it ever should have been. But I am also taking an under. I am taking the Illinois-Michigan State, which is another horrendous football game.
Jesus.
I am taking the under 47.5 in that game.
CBS and Fox and NBC, they're just sitting around. They're like, we paid for this shit.
Yeah, I know.
And the Rutgers Maryland has not moved. It's still under 51.
Please tell me that's a Peacock game. Illinois-Michigan State. I bet that's Peacock.
It very well might be. Guys, great episode tonight. A lot of fun. We will be not only tuning into the big Kentucky game, but in between games, we're going to have the reveal of the college football playoff. Can't wait for that. Very much looking forward to next week. We'll have a deep dive preview into the Indiana-Ohio State game, along with many, many other things. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, Mr. Electricity, the Poet Laureate, Whiteboard Jody, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.